This program is made possible by friends and partners of the Special Parent Podcast.
I believe that empowering parents of special needs children is like giving them the superpower of unconditional love and unbreakable determination. They are not just parents, they are true champions, shaping a bright future for their incredible children. I'm Dr. Deanna Iverson, and I'm glad you're here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Special Parent Podcast. I'm Dr. Deanna Iverson, and I'm here with a special guest today, my husband.
Glad to be here.
We came into this because we are the loving parents of a child with rare disease called KBG syndrome.
It's not a Russian spy.
Yeah.
We get asked all the time.
We do get asked that all the time.
Well, it's the initials of the last names of the first three patients ever diagnosed with KBG syndrome.
So, yeah, so KBG is one of 1,200 currently known rare diseases out there. And today is February 29th. It is Rare Disease Day. And once every 4 years, that day falls on February 29th, because typically it's just the last day of February. So today is Rare Disease Day, which is defined as a condition or a disease that's in less than one of every 200,000 Americans. Worldwide, that's about 3 to 6% of the population. And again, it's only what we are aware of, which if you think about that, doesn't sound that many until you realize that's more than 300 million people. In the United States alone, that's more than 30 million Americans that struggle with a rare disease. And rare diseases impact parents in a little bit different of a way. So we're here today to talk a little bit about our story. And first and foremost, I want to let you know how much my husband and I, as mom and dad of a rare disease child, have really learned to embrace this journey. This is a journey that we truly have grown to feel blessed to be on. It's not one we would have chosen, I'll be honest. If someone had said, before you have kids, do you want to sign up for this? Probably would have said no. It hasn't been the easiest journey, but looking back on the last several years, we really do feel blessed to be on this journey and to be on it together. And the fact that we have each other, it's opened our eyes to a completely new world, a world.
Although
that we didn't
I would tell you, and you remember this early on in our adventures with Trevor, we reached out to the doctors who originally described KBG, and one of them actually asked me point blank, "How is your marriage doing?" And I didn't think I gave him any indication in my email correspondence to him that there was anything amiss with our marriage, and I was quite surprised by it. I personally, and I think it's reasonable to suggest that it can be very difficult sometimes for parents of special needs kids because of all of the challenges and struggles that come up. But I feel like in our case, it actually brought us closer together, and that's why. And so my response to him was, you know, doctor, no, we're good. I actually think that we've chosen to equally embrace the adventure and what makes our son so incredibly special and do this thing together. So,
and I agree. And I know that it doesn't work that way for everybody.
It doesn't, yeah.
And that's one of the things when you look up rare diseases that they talk about that parents struggle with is it can lead to a lot of parents having disagreements, whether that's about a medical decision or a parent, just general parenting in general is hard. So a parenting decision can be much more complicated when you're dealing with all these different levels and issues. So we've learned how to have kind of a greater compassion and just that more open mind and that awareness of what it just means to be a parent, what it means to be a friend, and what it means to be a family member. We've definitely realized that we have really deep relationships with people that can walk this walk with us. And then there's people that, as much as we would have liked to have had a relationship or a friendship with them, they're not going to be on this walk with us. And that's been heartbreaking for us at times to realize we have to let those relationships go even. Yep. So it's been a journey that's not over. Our son is actually still a teenager. Yay for those years.
It's a lifetime journey, right?
Yes. So one of the things that I think special needs parents go through, but especially ones with rare disease, is that feeling of isolation.
Yeah.
That feeling of just, you know, no one really understands or gets it. And you can feel pretty alone and you can feel sometimes then helpless because you can't find the resources or the help that you need or someone who just understands your position.
Yeah, 'cause nobody else really can get, people can be sympathetic, about what you're dealing with. And good friends are amazing, and they're important. They're super important. Who can see that there are times of real struggle, but still love you and accept our son, you know, into their house. And but it's still not fully knowing what it is that you're going through. And you can still, even with that support, you can still feel like you're on an island sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And I experienced this as a mom. I grieved in the beginning when I realized that he was going to have some more severe issues. I grieved the loss of like my dreams for my kid and carried him for 9 months. And during that time, and then when he was, you know, first born, just the dreams and the hopes that we have for our children. And then realizing that some of those just aren't even going to be possible, and that our life is going to go in a different direction. And I had to go through a period of grief, of loss a little bit. And then I felt guilty about that. So there's the other side of special needs parenting, that guilt feeling. I felt guilty about the fact that I grieved, because it's not that I didn't love or accept him. It's just that I kind of had to go through that for myself. And that was a little bit of a challenge for me.
I felt like I didn't really even have time to stop in grief, because it came out of nowhere. To me, it came out of left field, that first 6 month checkup, and look at the shape of his head. It's a little bit mm-hmm. not normal, and we should follow up on that. And then that, 3 months later, we're failure to thrive, you know, checking into Phoenix Children's Hospital. And it's like, okay, maybe that's the dad, the guy, what can I do to fix it? Maybe certainly, yeah. How can I help manage the situation? You know, like, mm-hmm. and of course I did feel out of control, because there wasn't anything that I could do, especially once he's failure to thrive and the throwing up and everything that came along with that yeah. period of time, before we had the diagnosis, mm-hmm. you know, which didn't come till he was three. It was interesting. And it was just, how do I help my family get through this?
Yeah. And you mentioned it took us 3 years. That's another thing that's more kind of something that's associated more with rare diseases, is that it does take longer to get a diagnosis. And it takes longer because they don't know what they're looking at. They don't know what to look for. And by they, I mean the doctors. And so here they are, they're trying to help you with your child, but yet they don't even really know what the underlying cause is.
They don't even know.
So sometimes they're also throwing darts at a board and hoping to hit the right one.
And how many times going back and forth between different specialists did it feel like, okay, they don't even know what this guy mm-hmm. is working on, and there wasn't, and you can't entirely blame them. I mean, they have large patient loads, but it felt at times like, it almost felt like they didn't care about our son as much as they should, but it was because they're just different fields and they're not really mm-hmm. talking about it. And it's not like we have this cohesive team
yes.
around him yet. And it did evolve over time.
Yes.
But
and that's one of the tips that I'll review again at the end is, you know, as a parent with a child with special needs, specifically with a rare disease or disability, you need to find doctors that want to work as a team. And we changed pediatricians twice. And ever since he was 4 years old, we've been with the same pediatrician now. Mm-hmm. And so it took us going through pediatricians to find someone who would work as a team and listen to us. And now we have a phenomenal pediatrician. She's amazing. She really takes me serious as a parent. Mm-hmm. She listens to all my concerns. She will definitely go all the way to the end of researching and figuring something out before she gives up.
Yep.
And I love that. And we've definitely been able to put that all together. So I would say that one of the biggest challenges of rare disease is finding doctors that are willing to work with you as a team member and not necessarily gonna, you know, cut you off at, nope, this is what I know. Because doctors are taught to treat the 90%.
Yep.
And there's no fault in that. So you got to find the doctor that wants to examine the rare. And so that's interesting. And that's not always easy because you can't locate resources. Mm-hmm. And I was doing some research and I found that not every state is the same.
Right.
And there right. are some states, we actually know people in other states that's taken them years to just get state assistance or to get anything as far as...
Some states have automatic qualifiers, others don't,
right.
for example.
And so once we had a diagnosis, it even still took us another year and a half yeah. to get qualified because it's rare. It's not on the list of things they're looking for. Yeah. And with it not being on the list of things they're looking for, they were not able to automatically qualify us.
But again, depending on the state you're in, your special needs child could have, it could have certain conditions like autism, for example, that are absolutely on the map in most states, but some states it might not be an automatic qualifier.
Exactly. So that's one of the other challenges with special needs parenting, and specifically with rare disease, is that it is hard to locate and find resources. It can also take, especially if you don't have those resources yet, it can take a real toll on a family economically. Mm-hmm. We definitely experienced that in the beginning where it just felt like everything we were making was going towards it. But not just the economic of everything you're making, but the fact that I had to take a leave of absence from my job,
yep,
which was unpaid, to help care for our son medically. So those are all things that especially rare parents, but a special needs parents have to go through a lot of times. They have to completely alter their lives and the plan, which can impact multiple family members. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real challenge. I remember when we got a diagnosis, the first question was, are we going to have more children? Because it was genetic. So grateful for how ours came about. We learned that my husband and I don't carry it, and it was what they call a spontaneous mutation. But if you do carry it, in fact, we know another couple where between the two of them, rarely they can come up with a child that has a disease, and they did. They had one of their kids, of their two, that has a very rare disease, even more rare than our son's. Mm-hmm. And it was just interesting to listen to their discussion about, are we going to have more children? Just the taxing the quality of life on the family, as well as, of course, the fear a little bit, that fear of what's that going to mean?
Yep.
So maintaining relationships with friends and family are not easy when you're a special needs parent, but especially with rare disease, because friends and family don't even have the ability and the resources to just, oh, a lot of people know about autism nowadays. Mm-hmm. More people understand Down syndrome. But when you have something that's rare, they don't always have they don't always have availability to right. find out, how do I work with this family? How do mm-hmm. I help them? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the other things that I think has been really hard for us. So,
yep.
But I want to definitely talk about some of the tips and tricks we came up with.
Okay.
That have gotten us through this. How can we, as special needs parents, how can we thrive if we know that we have a child with special needs, especially with a rare disease, in honor of Rare Disease Awareness Day? How can we thrive? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I became alive when I realized that there was a Facebook group. I know I'm aging myself here. No one uses Facebook anymore. But when I found out there was a Facebook group for our son's rare syndrome, it connected
that was crazy.
Me. Yeah, worldwide.
It opened up our world. We went from feeling like we were all alone and on an island to all of a sudden there were 6-7 families in the state.
In the state.
And probably because of Phoenix Children's, because it, mm-hmm. unbeknownst to us, it was becoming more and more on the mm-hmm. on the neurological map of that this mm-hmm. condition existed. And so it got us connected instantly with other KBG families, which mm-hmm. was, I don't know if you want to talk about that right now or not, honey, but that was a game changer.
It was. I mean, we've even traveled to see families in other parts of the country.
Yep.
We've had people travel here. And actually, Phoenix Children's Hospital has been one of the places that people now want to come visit. Yeah.
And props to my sister, Colleen, for that day reaching out and saying, hey, did you know that there's a Facebook group for KBG syndrome?
We're yeah. And then
we didn't even think to look for one because it
did not.
We thought he was one in 75 or whatever it was worldwide mm-hmm. since 1975. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the chances there's anybody else with a right. young kid mm-hmm. in the area? And it turned out there were multiple families. Crazy.
Crazy. And the fact that once we got connected with that group, we found out at that time there was still about 175 identified. That's been several years now. We're up to 500.
Yeah.
So, and that's worldwide.
But since 1975. So
yes.
that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
So it's billions and billions of people.
I would say tip and trick number one is find a community. Maybe you can't find a community with your specific rare disease. For example, one of the friends that I've referenced before, their son's disease is ultra, ultra, ultra rare. And they don't even know anybody else in the United States that has it. Mm. And so when we get together with fellow KBG families, we invite them over and they come and they get together with us, because regardless of what the label of the disease is, they're still going through the same things we are. Yep. And our KBG family has welcomed them with open arms.
Yep.
So find a community of support. Reach out through any social media that you can. Reach out.
There's probably a Facebook group, at least. Well, we know there are, obviously, mm-hmm. for rare genetic disorders. But yeah, don't leave any stone unturned.
Yeah. And on my Facebook page and website, I'm going to put on there links to connect, because NORD, which is National Organization for Rare Diseases, they have connections you can make. The Rare Disease Day has its own website. So I'll put that on there for you to find. The National Institute of Health has a rare disease page. And then just Google searches and those kinds of things. And then there's, it's called Special Needs Alliance is another one. And that they actually will help you find resources if you're moving. So those are some things to just kind of reach out. Second thing is educate yourself. It takes a lot of effort and time to do this, but pull medical records. Pull the medical records for your child, because with rare disease, you're the expert. You
read every single word. And I have regrets having not read every single word for the first 3 years of his life, mm-hmm. And realizing things that we needed to be on top of sooner that would have mm-hmm. helped us hearing his speech, maybe that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Read every word.
Read everything you can. Start pulling it.
That's made.
And then just, if you don't know what something is, Google. It is your best friend. Yeah.
The doctor reports, just to be clear, read every word of the doctor reports. Mm-hmm. When you see specialists and they write up their report, just read every word.
Yeah. I had a report, because what I would do is not only read reports, but I would make notes of things. I'm a little over-organized in that way. I would make notes of how his feeding was going, because feeding was a big problem in the beginning. And I would take it to our doctor, our GI doctor, gastrointestinal doctor for my son. And I would say, okay, this is what's happened over the last 4 weeks. Based on this, it seems like this is working. This is not. What do you think we should do with it? Mm-hmm. And then I pulled the reports and read them. It was probably a month or two or maybe six after that. I don't remember. And I was just reading all the reports. I wasn't looking anything for specifics. And after that doctor's appointment, he said, well, these are our recommendations, but mom's going to do what she wants to anyways. And I'll never forget that, obviously, because I'm talking about it again. But that to me said, now, hold on a minute. I'm not trying to do anything, but help you know how to help my son, because he's not the 90%.
Yeah.
And that's when we changed doctors, not the pediatrician, the GI doctor too. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll tell you, that community of support that I had, I reached out to them and they absolutely said, you've got to change doctors. Yeah. And so that really helped. I actually, because of the community of support, is the reason our son was diagnosed with tethered cord, not because of the doctors, because of that community. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say as parents, you have to prioritize self-care. You have to make sure that you have the rest, that you are able to have the energy to care for your child or children, and that you are able to also take a break. And locating state resources will 100% help you with that.
Yep.
So locating state resources will give you some respite care. Sometimes they even have like group places that they can help watch your kid just even after work or something like that, with people that are trained for how to use feeding tubes, how to use ports, how to do those kinds of things and help with a special needs child.
Yep.
And so prioritize self-care. I've got tons of ideas on how you can do that. So if you need them, just please reach out. And then just start, go to Division of Developmental Disabilities for your state and just start pulling resources. Just start filling out applications for assistance. Just get out there, start talking to people.
And don't give up.
Yeah. Don't give up.
Sometimes it could take a couple of years to get what you need, but mm-hmm. don't give up.
One of the KBG families in Arizona, it took 2 attempts before they finally got resources, and their son actually had some more complicated medical issues than ours.
Yeah.
And it still took him 2 attempts. So sometimes it just depends on how you answer questions and who the interviewer was and those kinds of things. So last thing I would say is keep a forward focus. You are having a struggle or a moment in time, but it's just that moment. And there is joy. If you can find the blessings, if you can find the way to look forward, that's how you're going to thrive through this. Mm-hmm. You're going to thrive through this by finding those blessings and looking forward to the next step. And just keep stepping forward. Rely on that community of support that you've created, whether that's friends, other special needs family, if you're blessed enough to have family members that are really going to support you through it, because not everybody is built to handle this. Mm-hmm. And so focus on the forward, focus on the blessings. As said by another special needs parent, I want to read the quote directly.
Well, is anybody ever built for this, like intentionally? I mean, I believe that, you know, God puts you in positions to shape you as a person, obviously. But you know, as you know, being the parent of a special needs children, mm-hmm. there's just one curveball after another. And
yep.
And even the most well equipped
yeah.
Can fall down sometimes, and we've fallen down for sure.
There's definitely been days where I've just cried.
Yeah.
And and we are faithful, and that's one of the main ways we get through this. And there have been days that I've just been like, I'm really mad that I'm having to do this, God. I don't like it. But then I, you know, find a way to, I talk to somebody. Sometimes it's my husband. Sometimes it's a friend, another special needs mom. And I just remember that I'm not alone in this fight, mm-hmm. you know, and I am going to get through this moment, and there's still going to be joy on the other end.
Yeah.
You know, our son was having trouble with his ear one night. And it's 7 o'clock at night, but here he is with his phone, and he remembered his ear doctor's name and was trying to call the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And as much as we were just like, okay, it's 7 o'clock at night, buddy, no one's going to answer the phone.
The fact that he was doing that was pretty incredible.
It was just this little nugget of the fact that, you know, there's some hopes, there's some joy in going forward. Last night he decided he was mad at his mom because his mom did not have cookies in the house. So with his habilitation and respite provider, he baked some cookies.
They were good. I had four of them.
Four of them. Ooh, yeah. Honey. I'm glad you ate four of them. You saved me from it.
Needless to say, the gym this morning was not my best workout ever.
Four cookies later. So those are the things. You can find the nuggets. You can find the joy. You can just keep looking forward, and you can build yourself a community. Stay educated, and remember that there is a way to get through this with the right people around you. So surround yourself with those people. Take a break for yourself. Find times to laugh. Laughing is really important. And a quote from a special needs mom that I just love, and I'll leave you guys with this one. I would never have volunteered for a membership in this club, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And as hard as that is on some days, I feel that. Because I never would have had my eyes opened the way I have. So thank you for joining us today. Please look for the resources we've talked about on our website, and we'll talk to you next time.
This program is made possible by friends and partners of the Special Parent Podcast. For more information and to join our mailing list, visit specialparent.org.